Good morning, everyone. Today is known worldwide by the Christian community as Palm Sunday. And so if you've walked into church today wondering why on earth we've got palm leaves all over the place, this is one of the main reasons we do so. But it's not just a strange Christian tradition. Actually, it's not strange at all. But rather, we do so to remind ourselves of a particular event recorded in the Gospels. And so let's turn together in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. And we'll read together from verse 6 to 12. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that today you would speak to us through your word once again. May this Christian tradition come to life again today in and through your word. We pray this in your powerful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, from our reading, we'll note in verse 8 that it reads, "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road." And this is where the tradition of Palm Sunday comes from. When Jesus enters Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and upon his arrival, a large crowd gathered, spread their cloaks on the road, but others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road as well, and some even used them to wave as Jesus walked past. Now, in most cases, when we preach on this text, we actually focus on the donkey and Jesus riding it. But today, we're going to try and focus on the crowd and their actions instead. We're going to ask ourselves three questions. Why did they gather? What did they actually do? And what impact did their actions have on those around them? It is our hope that when we answer these questions and apply it to our own context, that Palm Sunday would set the tone, not just for this coming week as we journey towards Easter, but may it challenge and affirm why we come to church. And so let's look at the first question together. Why did these crowds gather? This is probably the most important question relating to our text today. And the answer might be quite simple, but it's certainly not simplistic. The simple answer is this: they gathered together because someone told them that Jesus of Nazareth, the greatest teacher that ever lived, the most powerful miracle worker, the healer of the sick, blind, deaf, and mute, and even the liberator of the captives and demon-possessed, this man was on his way into their city. And so naturally, those who heard, every man, woman, and child dropped what they did and ran to the entrance of the city to meet him. And as they gathered, we've read it again, they put their cloaks on the road. They cut branches and placed it on. Now, this, friends, is a big thing in their context. You don't just do this for any person walking into the city. You do this for a guest of honor, a VIP. In most cases, they would use olive trees or fig tree branches to honor a national liberator or to symbolize victory. And so as Jesus walks in through the gate, they honored him in this way. But Jesus wasn't just a man. And this is made very, very clear to all the people around them that this man was worthy of all honor and all glory and all praise. And we might think that their actions answer two questions at once. They gathered because of Jesus, and they worshipped him by placing their cloaks and tree branches on the ground. But when we look at what they've done further in the text, they shouted words of praise as Jesus rode past them on the donkey. Our text says that people went ahead of him, and there were people from behind worshiping, glorifying his name. Now, most of us haven't been to a packed sports stadium in years, where one could hear the deafening roar of thousands upon thousands of fans cheering their team on. But even better than that, do you remember those big worship events in our big stadiums all across the country, where thousands upon thousands of people sing "How Great Thou Art" or "Amazing Grace"? Now, for those who have experienced this, I would like to imagine that this day with Jesus riding down the main street in Jerusalem was just like that, with thousands upon thousands of people shouting at the top of their lungs, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And with those words echoing down the side streets all the way to the main temple courts, goodness, we've had some of these moments in church where we lift this roof and sing songs and shout praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Where we believe that the same thing that happened in our text today has also happened right here, where our songs of praise have echoed out through these doors into the parking lot, where people walking past can hear us praising our Lord and our Savior. And then the third thing we pick up from the text today is, while people worshiped, the city was stirred and people asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This in itself answers this third question for us. What impact did their actions have on those around them? You see, they didn't just come and place their cloaks and branches on the road ahead of Jesus and merely carried on with their everyday tasks. No, people who never heard the gospel, people who never heard about Jesus, heard a crowd worshiping the Lord, giving glory to him and shouting praises to his wonderful name. Because of this, people in the crowds and people in the town were drawn to Jesus. They were drawn to the worship of God's people. And then they asked, "Who is this?" Friends, this in itself should inspire us to sing to the Lord and shout praises to him, to shout Hosanna in the highest from our rooftops and worship the Lord with all that we have. Because just like it happened in this text, God can and will use our worship of him to draw people closer to him. And so let it echo in this city, in this generation, that those who don't know the Lord, when they run past our church on a Sunday morning, may they too ask, "Who is this man whom you worship?" And so friends, today I also just want to point out that this text and its application is one of the primary reasons why we sing and praise the Lord every time we walk through these doors. Just like the crowds did in our text today, we gather here for one reason alone, and Jesus Christ and the glory of his name. That's why we come to church. Yes, the people at the door are quite friendly. Yes, the coffee is good and the chairs are comfy. And the person right next to you, yes, they are pretty good people, but we don't come here for any of that. Well, at least we hope so. Friends, we gather here every week because of Jesus Christ and nothing and no one else. And this is where we would like you to give you some insight in regards to our worship philosophy as a church. Our worship philosophy has been built on texts like these, but also many others like Luke 4, where Jesus states very clearly that we should worship the Lord and serve Him only. Psalm 33, verse 1 to 3, sing joyfully, play skillfully, and shout for joy. Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, all these texts guide us in regards to our worship philosophy. And during my preparation, I came across this definition of worship that I found quite accurate and profound. Worship is communion with God, in which believers, by grace, center their mind's attention and their heart's affection on the Lord Himself, humbly glorifying God for who He is and what He does. Friends, worship is all about God and us coming in union with Him. This service and everything that we do here is all about God and His glory. And that in itself should be so liberating, and liberating because it takes us out of the picture completely. It takes our needs and our preferences out of the picture when we gather with one thing in mind, Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's the main reason why we're here. We're here to worship the Lord and serve Him only. And I believe that for most of the time, for most of us, this is true. We walk into church and God is indeed the main reason why we are here. But we as pastors and worship leaders are fully aware of the fact that we have an enemy that will do everything within his power to distract us from our main goal. He will do everything he can to make it as difficult for you as possible to worship God and serve him only. And he will do everything in his power to bring disunity in the body of Christ, because he knows, he is fully aware of the immense power behind a congregation that put God first. He knows how powerful it is when a congregation gathers together and puts God at the center of everything it does. He knows how powerful a congregation is when we put the needs of others above our own. And He knows how powerful it is when God's people worship in unity and by the power of His Spirit. And for those who've attended our worship leaders workshop a few weeks ago, I'm sorry that you need to hear this again, but Dunks and I believe that if we get these things right more often than not, goodness, we're going to see incredible things happen right in front of our very eyes, like we've never seen before. So just like I shared with the worship team, we're going to share with you right now what it takes to put a worship service together with these three things in mind at all times. Firstly, we need to ensure that as far as possible, all distractions have been removed. And that's why all of these lights don't move all over the place. And for those who've attended This Is Christmas production last year, you would remember that these lights can do some pretty cool things, but not during a Sunday morning service. Because we want to make sure that there is little to no distractions as we are trying to lead the entire congregation into a place of intimacy with God. And that's why we turn off all the cool effects, because the last thing we want is for a silly light to distract people from truly connecting with God. Furthermore, that's why our orders of service and the way we normally run church is pretty predictable too, with a few exceptions here and there. But for most of the times, we normally greet one another in the beginning of the service. We worship together, we pray, someone preaches, and then we close with prayer and benediction. We go home or we go down to the coffee corner for some lunch. This predictable order further allows us to avoid any possible distractions as far as possible. Secondly, we do everything that we can to make it as easy as possible for people to worship God with little to no discomfort. In so doing, we are very intentional about the songs we choose, how fast or how slow we play them. And it even goes down to the key in which we sing these songs. If the songs are too low, the ladies will find it very uncomfortable to sing. And when the songs are too high, the men get left behind. But that's not all. We must also bear in mind whether it is easy to sing a song as a group of people together. So many songs sound fantastic in the car or at home. But when we have such a vast group of people, from the young and the older, males and females, not to even mention the different types of vocal ranges sitting right next to you, the bassists, normally the guys, the sopranos, the ladies, and let's not even talk about the music genres. In order to ensure that all people are able to worship God and keep Him at the center of it all, we even need to consider what type of songs we play and sing together, whether they are choruses or anthems or even hymns. And then last but not least, we even look at the words very carefully. We study the theology behind the words to ensure that every song that we sing is in line with Scripture and what it declares to be true about God. And that's not all. When we select songs and put orders of service together, we need to do all of that and keep the church united in worship. And friends, as you can appreciate, to keep this all in balance is quite the task. But to make this so much easier for every single person, one thing we need to do as a church: come here with one thing in mind, Jesus Christ. Just like the crowd did in our text today, where they placed their cloaks and branches on the road and waved their palm branches as Jesus walked by, as they worshiped together, they gathered with one thing in mind, Jesus Christ. And because they gathered with only Jesus Christ in mind, when they worshiped, when they shouted songs of praise, those who didn't believe, those who didn't gather, heard their shouts of praise and were drawn to it. And they even asked, "Who is this man that you worship?" May the same be true of us, where we gather with Jesus Christ in mind and Him alone. And as we worship with that focal point in mind, before you and I know it, people sitting in our parking lots waiting to go to the shops, or those running by, will hear us worshiping the Lord and be drawn to it just like the crowds were that day, and come and ask, "Who is this that you worship?" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful for days like this today. Palm Sunday, celebrated every single year. We ask, Lord, that as we've unpacked your word this morning and gained a deeper understanding as to why we celebrate Palm Sunday, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to keep you at the center of it all, just like they did in our text today. And when we gather together to worship you, may we do so with you at the center of it all. Draw us back, Lord, to the heart of worship once again, where it's all about you, Jesus. And allow everything else to fade away, so that those who don't know you may come and follow the way of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's share in the benediction together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.